Let it go, my love, my truest. Let it sail on silver wings. Life's a twinkling, that's for certain, but it's such a fine thing. There's a gathering of spirits, there's a festival of friends, and we'll take up where we left off. We all meet again.
Good evening. I'm Reverend Judy Hausner, and this is the Journey 8. And the Journey 8 is celebrating this month for 3 years on the air, and they told me it wouldn't last. All right, so that was one of my favorite songs, and we're going to play quite a bit of music, I think, tonight. We revised the show. We were going to have Jen on to play some music live, and there was a family emergency, and she is maybe possibly going to call in if she gets a chance. So it's me and Wasif. When Wasif gets online, I'm going to start out. This program is kind of one that I need to talk about, we need to talk about for sure, but it's always hard for me to talk to people about things that are less than fun, shall we say. You know, I try so hard to keep the spirits up on this show because the purpose of the Journey 8 is to give you a safe place to understand that you can love God and you can reunite yourself. And it doesn't have to be, you know, drudgery and, you know, Bible thumping. I don't even have a Bible on my table right now. I'm a terrible minister. So when things of serious nature come about, I try my best to give you information without making any of you feel that you're being chastised or beat up, because that's not the intent. The intent is to help you be a better person and to help you reunite yourself, shall we say. So I'm going to be in and out of music, because music is my way of speaking without speaking, shall we say. And I'm going to play, I think Mr. Engineer has it by now. I want to play a song that came to me before the last show. And the last show ended abruptly. We had thunderstorms that were really bad, and lightning that was hitting like way too close for me. So the show was ended abruptly, shall we say, and it was a shame because we were doing a great interview. But that being said, this piece of music from a young lady by the name of Ashley, what's your last name? Wright. Ashley Wright, and she wrote this herself, and it's her first song that she's putting out there. She had asked if we would play this. I tried last time, like I said, on June 6th. We couldn't get it in, but we are going to try and play it now. Let me ask if we have it loaded up. And
What's the name of the song?
The name of the song is Jesus, Lay Your Hands on Me. And we're going to try. We're going to ask Jesus to lay our hands on for sure. Mr. Engineer, I did send it just a couple minutes ago by WeTransfer. So.
Oh, you just sent it.
By WeTransfer, maybe.
Yeah, it takes me a bit because I got to go over to the other computer, download it, transfer it, sometimes convert it.
All right. Well, so I'll continue
on. 5 or 10 minutes.
Not a problem.
Okay, perfect.
We'll continue on while he's loading that song up. I've listened to it a couple times, and it is a wonderful gospel song. And when I hear her voice sometimes, it sounds like Whitney Houston to me. And that's just me. You know, everybody hears words and voices at a different pace. But as soon as we get that, we'll get it loaded up. Now, I'm going to lead in, and he's going to let me know. I'm going to lead into one thing, of course, the typical announcement that if you want to talk to me, that phone number is 800-627-6008. Be glad to talk to you. And if you just want to listen to the show and your computer is starting to die on you or whatever, you can dial in on your smart or dumb phone, 716-748-0150, and you'll be able to listen to the show. If not, then the usual way is to get on bbsradio.com/journey8. All right, so here's the deal. I had a less than stellar week last week. But, you know, we all have good and bad times, right? You know, sometimes everything goes perfect and woo. You know, you just wish you had another 100 weeks of that kind of stuff. The
music's ready.
Okay. Oh, the song is ready. Let's listen to the song and then we'll get into what I wanted to say.
Lord God, we come before you, asking you to lay your hands on us, asking you to cleanse us, Lord Jesus, with your hands, asking you to bless us with your hands. We need you in our life. We praise your name. Come on, Ashley.
His hands are filled with power. His hands strengthen me. His hands gave me sight when I was blind.
All right, so that was Ashley Wright. Song is, of course, Jesus Lay Your Hands on Me. And a powerful song, especially for those who are needing the grace and compassion of our Father. Remember, he's only a prayer away. And in these days and times, I think that's a pretty good piece of information to have. Now, didn't she sound like Whitney Houston to you? I'm telling you, she's got that voice. We'll see. I think the young lady's gonna make it okay. All right, so here we are at a quarter after the hour. Look at that, how time flies. And I think I'd like to start our discussion with an excerpt from a sermon, as I said. And when Wasif gets on, then we'll continue from there. This is a part of a sermon that I did several years ago, actually. And it came back to me this week only because I've, like many people, heard and read many things about Orlando. But the thing that strikes me most is the words that people are using, the unjustified words, I guess you could say. And a few years ago, I did a sermon called The Words We Use. And I'd like to take part of that and speak it again. I'm not sure I put it on the air. I think it was a sermon I did at church. and let you all remember how important it is for us to be careful and not let our tongues send us to hell, I guess is a good way to say it. The sermon is taken from my favorite, one of my favorite passages, Psalms 19, 7 through 14. And it's a psalm from David asking that that God protect him from his own self, basically, and reminding him about the laws of God being fair and so on. So before I jump into it, I just want to say thank you to those who have been kind to me this week and those who understand what it's like to be careful of their words. So here we go. Tonight I want to speak to you about words. Words that come from the heart and words that do not. I want us tonight to know more clearly what God says about the words we speak and how he expects us to use language that lifts our brothers and sisters up, and doing so reflects on his image, not ours. You know, some people say that words are just that, words, and the damage they can do is limited by the physical power of someone that is using them, i.e. a bully. So without the sword, what they're saying is words are nothing. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I say, not. That is not true. Here's what I believe. No mightier sword is there than the one that is thrown straight for the heart by an unkind word. I say that a kingdom can fall at the sound of a horn and a word spoken in truth, with God and angels echoing that call, just like the walls of Jericho. I believe with all my heart there is no more fragrant and beautiful flower than the one given with the words, I love you. I love you. Words are not meant to be thrown around in aimless anger or irreverent self-righteousness. For you are no higher on the scale than I am. Remember, the words you use as weapons today may be the poison you have to drink tomorrow. Say what you may, and I'm telling you, say what you may, but tomorrow you may have to drink the poison you threw out today. The reality is that if God felt words were not powerful, David would have never written this psalm. And the Bible, think of it, would be filled with empty pages if words didn't mean anything. You know, the words we use don't always have the effect we intend. Sometimes words meant to spur people on towards action, and I just encountered this, they backfire. And all progress is halted until confusion or misunderstanding is clarified. So speak clearly. Speak with your heart. And speak what you would want said to you. Sometimes the words we use to encourage others are interpreted as belittling or condescending, and it's from insecurity. And unfortunately, everything comes to a screeching halt until someone takes a moment to backpedal, I guess you could say, and and clarifies what they meant. It's hard these days to be secure and to feel that what you are saying is what you really mean. And finally, on other occasions, we don't know the right words to say, so we choose words that end up doing more harm than good. You know, somebody's grieving or somebody's in trouble or someone comes to you and, you know, wants your advice, and instead of thinking about what you're going to say first, you know, you say all kinds of words that end up doing more harm than good. Silence. And this is something that I practice all the time and wish I was perfect at it, but I am not. Silence is always best when words can't be found, because God works in many ways during the silence between us. Don't be afraid of the quiet. You know, let God pick your words for you. It's okay just to sit and hold the hand of a person that might be grieving or might be asking you for some compassion. You know, these are all mistakes that we make because we're human. You know, we're not perfect. Even with the best intentions, we're going to mess up. And we're going to choose the wrong words from time to time. And I'm sure God's not so concerned with the accidental misunderstandings, thank God, that are bound to happen between two human beings. I believe his focus is much deeper than that. You know, it would be a good rule of thumb for us to consider whether or not what we're about to say is going to give grace to those who hear it, or grief. You may be directing your expressions to one person, and this has happened many times to me, where you're talking to one person, but other people are around, and God takes your words on a broader scale. So what you say and do might impact many people you don't even take into account. Why? Because they heard your words. They may have been sitting in the row next to you or standing nearby. And again, did they hear grace or disgrace? My hope tonight is that we will have a tool that we can use, and we could call it Psalm, you know, 19, give us a clearer understanding of what God expects of us. It would be apparent by now what kind of words should be used when we talk to others and how we should use them. So let's be very careful, especially right now, where this country is grieving a terrible loss and people are saying things that should not be said. Find a gentle and loving way to help others experience God's love through you. Respect the place others are coming from and speak to each other like Jesus would, or Muhammad, or whomever your prophet or your leader spiritually is. For when you do that, the words of your mouth will be acceptable to God. You know, hateful words create hateful situations. And hateful situations then grow into what we've seen in many occasions, and the latest being Orlando. Never forget that each of us, every one of us, makes up God's finest silk that he takes and he weaves into wondrous and beautiful creations. We're all wonderful and beautiful creations. We are not less than. There is no one person, whether they have a religion that is unusual, or they are gay or straight, yellow or black, the the beauty of what God has created is that we are different. Would it be such a boring world if you and I were exactly the same? And I do not, with all my heart, make judgments on other people, because I don't have that power. That is not my place to judge or to say, because someone was of a certain religion, that everyone of that religion is evil. If that were the case, all of us Christians would be paying for the Crusades. Everybody knows, or should know by now, there is no perfect situation. And when bad things happen, as they do, it's our job as humans. I don't care if you're Catholic or Episcopalian or whatever, or Jewish or Muslim, it is our job to take care of our brothers. When God asked, where's your brother? Cain answered, my brother's keeper. And the answer has always been the same throughout the Bible. We are our brother's keeper. We are required as good people, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, whatever, we are as good people required to have compassion on the families and the loved ones, the extension of the hurt and the pain. We are not required or authorized to judge anyone. I hear so much hatred right now. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because so much is lost already. And to add to that loss is, it's almost blasphemous. I don't know of anyone who has been given the mantle, and if you have, I would like to know, the mantle of being judge and jury spiritually over anyone. And maybe God was pretty smart about that, because we can't handle it. Look at how we treat each other. Could you imagine if God really gave somebody the power to judge? Oh my goodness! Now, obviously, in our country, we do have judges and legal people, but that is not a spiritual situation. That is legal. Let's try to remember that when you open your mouth to say something, engage your brain first. Let's take a little break here, because, oh my goodness, I'm getting oh so serious and mad. Let's see what we have loaded up, and I'd love to see if we have a song that's one of my favorite by Karen Williams, and it's called Head Up. Let's see if he can find it for us. It's an awesome song, and one that should lift our spirits a little bit.
Overcome the victory.
Yeah. Not a good one. I like that song and I use it a lot. And that's Karen Williams and Head Up. And it's so good to hear that kind of encouragement. You know, keep your head up. Don't let stuff weigh you down too much. It's okay to be serious about something. It's okay to think about something, resolve it, and move on. So Wassup's going to be here shortly. And I asked him to spend some time telling me from the other side how all this craziness from Orlando has impacted his community and what kind of advice can we sort out together that makes sense. You know, we always think of things from our side. You know, if something happens and this is normal, I say, oh my gosh, that hurt. I'm really upset and blah, blah, blah. And that's your side. But do you ever give yourself a chance to hear the other side? So that things can equal out and a true picture can be drawn. Now, while I'm waiting for Wassup, I do want to say something happy. And I know this young lady is at Girl Scout camp right now, but her mother may be listening. We have at Life's Journey, and of course, let me put my plug in. I didn't do it at the beginning. The Journey 8 is an outreach ministry connected to my church that I belong to, Life's Journey, United Church of Christ, in Burlington, North Carolina. And Life's Journey is going through some really cool expansion, and that's always a good thing. We're in the process of adding a new sanctuary, and we're all excited about that. But one of the things that that I came up with the people in charge of children's ministry is a section or a segment of the show called Kids Talk. And Kids Talk is going to be, and it's going to start here shortly, it's going to be a topic-related thing where kids from church come on the show with me, and they give their view of whatever the topic is that they have chosen. And I think it's going to be quite enlightening because, again, how many of you take the time to listen to what a kid really has to say? You know, some of the most prophetic things I've heard lately have come from the kids at our church. They have been quite an encouragement. And, you know, sometimes as adults, we kind of push them aside and say, you're just kids. You know, wait till you grow up. You might have something to say. If not, just be quiet, because kids were meant to be seen, not heard. So I say poppycock to that. And so we're going to take a 10 or 15 minute little segment and let these kids show you how deep they can be. They're going to pick the topic. They're going to present their information live on the show, and they're going to open up the lines and let you have a chance to ask them questions about that. And I hope, unlike when I'm on the air, I hope that somebody actually picks up the phone and calls the kids and asks them, you know, because there's only so much I can do as a host sometimes. And these kids are used to me because they see me every week at church. And sometimes more than that. So it'd be nice if we had some of you out there interact with the kids. One moment as I process a little text message. You know, one of the nice things about this show is we're not so stuffy and highfalutin that we can't do things like go on the fly and produce something as we're doing it. I like it. So.
Do you want me to play something?
Yeah, well, we're waiting for Wasif. Let's, what do we got to, that we can throw on here for everybody?
Not pretty enough?
Not pretty enough. Oh, I don't know if we haven't done that one in a long time. Let's try it. Here we go, folks. Not pretty enough.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken?
And Wasif, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Good to hear your voice.
Same. It feels like I am again riding a bicycle after every 2 weeks.
I know. I wish we had the money to be on every week, because sometimes I feel that way myself. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Where's my notes? What am I doing? You know, I think if we had, and here's a hint for those listening, if we had some really cool sponsors that could afford us to be on every week, I would love it, especially with all the work.
Let's send out a prayer that God help us with some sponsors.
Yes, 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 yes. Somebody out there must love us enough, I got to believe, right?
I think we have put together some great shows this year. We've had, you know, a different type of guest every other show, from rabbis to pastors to Muslims to, you know, even tonight's show. I have some interesting things to share, and I'm sure you have shared some interesting things already. So I think, yeah, we definitely are providing something of value here, and hopefully it catches the right person's ear.
Well, according to the numbers, we're hitting somebody. And, you know, until God tells me to stop doing this, or the producers say you're too small of a piece of cheese and we're going to go after a bigger piece of cheese, which I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm going to keep on. I mean, we've been here for 3 years. So I say, let's do it. So what do you have that's
gonna going to
help
on?
Us?
Well, yeah. I first and foremost, being a Muslim and having gone through the inundation of modern day terrorism as spread by the media and the few odd terrorists that are existing in our world, given that our world is 7 billion people large, still terrorism and these terrorists that like to take on not only the identity of Islam sometimes, but they somehow believe that they also have the right, wrongfully so, to address what the identity of relationship in this world should be. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay, I'm still here. And so what I would like to say is that, you know, in spite of the news, the explosive news that we have been seeing through the box and through the media, what I would like to start off by saying is that, you know, just the world is hurting right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's hurting in many different spheres. And I was just looking on National Geographic the other day. You can actually Google it. You know, I was looking at the refugee crisis. That's reached a record number.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, so, you know, what I found out most recently is that in Iraq now there are 1.2 million civilian deaths. Mm. 1.2 wow. million civilian deaths. And in Orlando, we had another very, very, very horrific, horrific act of terrorism take place, as I'm sure most who are listening are aware by now. And, you know, these little acts of heinous crimes are seems to be at, you know, from a human perspective, especially if you follow the news, you would think that the world is heading in a direction controlled by evil and manipulation. And what I would like to say is that there's so much talk. There's so much talk, but talk is just that. It's just talk. And what we need to come to as people of conscience, I believe, is activity. And I would like to give you some news on some of the positive activity that has taken place and is taking place in North Carolina.
Yes.
One of the most positive things that I can actually tell you is that the city of Greensboro actually has instituted an annual peace festival, which was instituted last year in September. I won't give you the whole spiel, but it was basically started because the Islamic Center here in Greensboro received a piece of hate mail asking for Muslims to disappear from the area. And, you know, I'm sure there's people out there that agree with that letter. But if you are someone who does not like Muslims or who does not like a particular group just because of what you have heard on TV, I would really implore you to actually go meet a Muslim person or a person from the LGBTQ community, because what you will find that the lived experience of Islam and I'm sure of other groups is very different from the caricature that you see on the LGBT community, as well as the Muslims in many, many, many media outlets. But this peace festival was instituted last year, and believe it or not, your listeners will find this shocking. The peace festival was actually synchronistically and unknowingly organized as the same day as the Pride Festival. Can you believe it? It was organized on the same day as the Pride Festival. And so I, being the president of the largest mosque in the triad, spoke to Paul Marshall, and he has given me a go ahead to make this publicly known, that when I talked to Paul Marshall, who's the chair of the Pride, we immediately developed a very, very strong bond along, you know, the lines of equality, along the lines of solidarity and just friendship and wanting to do something good for the community.
Right.
And so, believe it or not, at the Pride Festival, announcements were made for the Peace Festival. If people wanted to come and march at the Peace Festival, they could. And believe it or not, people did come and march at the Peace Festival from the Pride Festival.
Good.
And even this year, again, I spoke to Paul right after this incident happened, and I said, Paul, you know what we did last year before any of these terrorism attacks in Orlando or France or anything took place is that in the responding to hate, and here we come back to that whole spiel I gave about action rather than just talk. In responding to hate, you know, we actually took the action as a group of Muslims here in the Triad area, which is 15,000 plus now, to say that, you know, in spite of whatever you hate you throw at us, we're going to actually respond with peace.
Yes.
And this is the lived experience of Islam in the Bible Belt. And we found so many people that were willing to march right alongside with us. Not because of that we believe in the same things, and not because of the fact that it was just a response to hate, but because honestly, just like Paul Marshall from the Greensboro Pride stated and has said repeatedly, that we want to work together for the good of our own community. And in that action, I pray that God brings us some solitude and some reference that the only story that there is to follow are not the only stories that are available on the tube. There are many stories beyond that. And in order to get to those stories, you have to get on the ground, you have to meet the people, and you have to see what the lived experience is. One final thing I'd like to say, that as soon as this attack on peaceful people happened in Orlando, on innocent people happened in Orlando, on human beings that have families that happened in Orlando, all of the major mosques, not discounting one, and I have written statements from them, condemned the attack completely and totally.
Yes.
Matter of fact, if you Google local organization raises money for Pulse, you will find that on that very day, about $25,000 was raised by Muslims living in that area in order to help the immediate needs of the victims and their families. And this, I checked it on that very day, and it was $25,000. I don't know where it finally reached to, but maybe if somebody's listening, they can follow up on that and shoot you an email. And finally, I know we just got 5 minutes left. I implore each and every one of you that's listening out there that, you know, come to action, because right now the world is hurting, and there is a lot of talk and it's just opinion. But when you come to action, that God consciousness, that hope and that loving human heart will guide you to those people that it can recognize best, just like, you know, the relationship I really, really appreciate that we have built, Judy, you and myself, coming from completely different backgrounds, but now trying to do work for a common good.
And one of the things I want to say is that I have some personal friends who have said derogatory things, not knowing one Muslim, but because their preacher told them, oh, you know, or somebody told them, and oh, they hate them all. And it's heartrending for somebody like me, because my relationship with you, even if I didn't know anything, my relationship with you has been so loving and so kind. And I don't even think of you as a Muslim sometimes.
Well,
I think of you as my brother, you know.
And you're my sister. And you know what? This is for the identity of what legacy we want to leave for our children. And I, for one, have written this to all the other mosques, that I, for one, and there are many that are in support, including Jewish people, including the Greensboro Pride, including all of the mosques that are here in the area, that we are going to try our very best. Even if it means that when in this year's Peace Festival happens and there's Muslims, and there's, you know, the LGBTQ community, and there's the Jewish community, and there's the Christian community. And if somebody comes and tries to stop that, then they'll just have to stop all of us together. But at least at that point, we will know who the person proliferating evil is, because it's not going to be any one of these groups.
That's right. And hate comes from fear. I believe that.
Yep.
Hate comes from fear. And I wrote a sermon that I'll be giving in a couple of weeks at church about being fearless and calling hate and fear what it is, which is Satan. It's evil. Yep. It's
And one more ointment on this entire thing. If you want to Google these words, Greensboro Vigil, Google that. You will see many Muslims attended it, and the speeches that they gave. And matter of fact, I've been asked and paid for, by the way, and which I'm so appreciative, that I actually, my car was having some trouble. So Equality North Carolina, which is an LGBTQ organization out of Raleigh, is holding a rally in Raleigh on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And they're actually paying for my ride there. And so the focus is on Latino voices and Muslim voices. And we're just very thankful to them for creating this platform, and we continue to work with them. They have committed to also joining us in the Peace Festival. It's going to be on September 17th this year. Believe it or not, the same day as the Pride Festival is also scheduled, believe it or not. It's September 17th.
I love it. You so just go from one to the other. That's all. Yeah.
That's what we did last year.
Yeah.
That's what we did last year. And I pray to God he guides us all to the common good and to better aspirations.
And I thank you once again, because where your heart is where you're going to find peace, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
May our hearts be with God. May our hearts be with God.
Yes. Yes. Amen. So that is it for us this week. We will be back on the 4th of July is when our next show is. So tune in, because I got some surprises for you. And right. Grace and peace.
Peace to you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for being with us this evening. Please come back again. And remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace.